And Psalm 91, that's where we'll be, Psalm 91. Now, when our Lord was in the wilderness, he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was very weak, he was hungry. And you remember the devil came to him, and Scripture says that he took him into the holy city and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple, on a high place on the temple. And he said to him, "If thou be the Son of God," this is how the devil often tempts, questions whether you be the Son of God. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, prove it to me." That's what he's saying to him, "Prove it to me. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it's written." Now listen, he's going to quote Scripture. "For it's written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Now that verse that he quoted is in Psalm 91, right here in verses 11 and 12. "He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Our Lord didn't deny that that was speaking of him. This is God the Father's promise to Christ his Son. And this psalm here, Psalm 91, is Christ communing with his own heart, reminding himself of the promises of the Father, and staying himself upon God the Father, his covenant promises. And since these are God's promises to our Lord, these are God's promises to you and I who believe him. We're going to see here God's promises to his Son and his faithfulness to his Son. And in that we see God's faithfulness to you and I who believe him. To believe him. Now, I like to begin each message with a proposition, just a one statement that sums up the whole message. Well, our Lord does that. Christ speaking here does that in verse 1. This is the general proposition of this whole psalm. This is the summary of it right here. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That means two things. The whole first part of this psalm, all the way down to verse 13, we hear Christ having God's covenant promise, communing with his heart, reminding himself of those promises. He abode under the Lord's shadow. He believed God and he abode under his shadow, looking only to him in faith. Now that's one thing it means. Those that have these promises and know our Redeemer, they're going to consciously strive to abide in him. They want to believe him and be found in him and be under the shadow of his mighty hand. And then secondly, God shall keep us dwelling in the secret place. He shall keep us dwelling in him. The last verses from verse 14 to verse 16, God gives promises that he fulfills to those who trust him. So that's the twofold meaning of that statement. Those that believe will abide, trusting Christ to the end. And God will keep us abiding in him to the end. Now, the secret place of the Most High. He says there, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The secret place of the Most High is not a place separate from him. It's not some place separate from him. It is him. Read it again. It's the secret place of the Most High. It's him. "And he that dwells in him shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty himself." He's El Shaddai. He is the Almighty. And when he brings you to dwell in him, you'll dwell under his shadow. Psalm 31:20 says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence." in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. That secret place, he's saying here, is the presence of God. You remember in the tabernacle, God's presence was in the holiest of holies in the tabernacle. That's where his presence was, over the mercy seat. Over the mercy seat. That was the secret place. The psalmist said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. God put his people in Christ, in his Son, before the world was made by divine election. Of God are you in Christ. How did that happen? He made anything. God chose his people in Christ, put us in Christ, in the secret place, in Christ, in him. And in time, when he calls us in regeneration, he gives us an experience of this union. He brings you to see that you're one with him. You were in him when he walked this earth and laid down his life under the law and died. You were in him when he arose to the right hand of the Father and sat down. And he brings you into an experimental union with him. We've always been in union with him since he put us in Christ, but he brings you into that union by faith. So by faith, we dwell in Christ. He's the secret place. We dwell in him, and Christ dwells at God's right hand in that holiest of holies. He's the mercy seat, and we're in him. And he's there in God's presence, and we're there in God's presence. That's a double safety. That's double security for his people. Listen to Colossians 3:3. You are dead. Your old man's dead. Your sin nature, or your body is sin. The you that we are in Adam died. You died. And your life is hid. He said it's a secret place. It's a hidden place. That's what it means. Your life is hid with Christ in God. You see that double security? You're in Christ, the secret place, in God's presence, in the holiest of holies, seated with him. So the Most High God's going to keep us under his protection continually. He's going to keep us in Christ, keep us under his protection. Whatever we suffer, whatever difficulties we go through, whatever the trial may be, however perplexing it may be to you, God is going to keep his child under the shadow of the Almighty, under his protection. And those that know this are going to consciously abide in him. We're going to believe him. We're going to trust him. We're going to follow him. And he's going to keep you following him. Now, I want to look at this, and I just mainly want to focus on these first 13 verses. But I want you to hear Christ speaking here. This is Christ speaking, and he's communing with his own heart, and he's reminding himself of God's promises to him, and he's trusting the Lord. And so because he did this perfectly, this is our salvation. But we also see in this what he's teaching us to do, to remember his promises, to abide in him, to follow him, to believe on him. Never give up. Now listen, first of all, hear Christ speaking to himself. He's got God's covenant promise, and this is his resolve to abide in the Most High. He's looking only to his Father. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Whenever the Son of God took flesh and he walked this earth, you just think of the enemies that he came in contact with. Everybody who was unregenerate was an enemy. The devil was after him. There was all kind of wicked fallen angels that were against him. Every kind of evil was against him. But when he walked this earth, he was still in the secret place. He was still in the bosom of the Father. Even when he walked this earth, he was in the bosom of the Father. And as he served the Lord as the head of his people, as he came working out a righteousness for his people, he was faithful to trust his Father, his God. He says there in verse 2, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. He's the one who speaks in Psalm 32:7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. See, you and I don't believe perfectly. There's sin with that, with our belief, and we're so full of unbelief. But really, the righteousness by which we're saved is Christ's faith. It is the faith of Christ, his perfect obedience to the Father, perfect trust in the Father. So as a man saving his people, he's saying, I will say of the Lord. I'll remind myself. I showed you that this is the psalm that the devil quoted when he tempted Christ to jump off that tower, off the temple. And this very well could be what our Lord was communing, how he was communing with his own heart through that whole temptation in the wilderness. And not only that, but through his whole walk in this world. Trust in the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he went to the cross. And he's teaching us the same thing. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's my fortress. My God. In him I will trust. In him will I trust. And if you're born of God, you're inseparably united to Christ. If we're born of God and we believe him, he has inseparably united us to Christ. He did so in eternity, and he's done so by giving you life and bringing you to him. And knowing this, let us do what Christ did. We don't just believe Christ. You have to believe Christ in the first hour. We do. But even when you're surrounded by enemies, even when you have no strength in yourself, even when you see there's nothing you can do to save yourself, we keep coming to him. We keep believing him. And here's how our Lord strengthened himself. This is how he, Scripture says, keep thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep it how? Keep it stayed on Christ. Keep your heart on Christ. And this is how he's going to strengthen us. At all times, keep your heart stayed on Christ. And this faith is personal. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my fortress. He's my God. In him will I trust. Not trust in myself, I'm trusting him. In him will I trust. A man shall be as a hiding place from the wind. That's the God man. A man should be a hiding place, a secret place, a refuge, a fortress, a covert from the storm and from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. He's that shadow. He's that refuge, that fortress, that secret place. So you see how the Lord is communing with his own heart. You see how he's saying, he reminded himself, this, my Lord's my refuge. This is faith, perfect faith of our Redeemer. I want to show you secondly here, our confidence in Christ is that Christ was tempted in all points like we are, but he didn't sin. He didn't sin. He perfected faith for his people. He's the author and finisher of our faith. That means his obedience is our righteousness. And him alone. He speaks to himself of God's promise to him right here again. Verse 3. Surely he shall deliver thee. He's speaking to himself. He's speaking of himself. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The fowler is the devil. Fowler is the devil. He's described here as a bird hunter. Scripture speaks of the snare of the devil. They would trap birds. Snare birds. Scripture speaks of the snare of the devil. We're going to see him here shooting his arrows. Fiery darts of the wicked were spoken of in Scripture. The devil has wiles, great wiles of the devil. Devices far beyond anything you and I can are any match for. But when our Lord walked this earth, our Lord and his people are compared to doves in the Scripture. To doves. A dove's the most helpless, I guess the most helpless bird there is. And that's what he describes us a harmless dove. That's who Christ was when he walked this earth. And as doves, we're hunted by the devil, hunted by his seed, as a hunter, as a fowler. The noisome pestilence here, this word noisome means engulfing, destructive wickedness, and that pestilence is disease. He's talking about the engulfing, destructive, wicked disease of sin. That's exactly what he's talking about. The devil hunted Adam. He came hunting Adam in the beginning, and he set a trap. He ensnared Eve in that trap. He beguiled her. He tricked her. And Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. And when he did, he plunged the whole human race into sin and death. The noisome pestilence. What do we see? Since Adam up till now and all the world right now, all around us right now, what you hear is a noisome pestilence. Sin. Everywhere. In all. All are engulfed with the destructive, wicked disease of sin. And the devil goes about hunting. He's hunting. He's seeking whom he may devour. Like a fowler hunting a bird. That's what he's doing. But when the devil hunted our Lord, when he tempted our Savior, he came there into that wilderness and he tempted the Lord. This was Christ's word to himself. This is his perfect faith in God his Father. Surely he, the Most High, the Almighty, shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now he describes here the devil as a hunter, like a bird hunter, the fowler. But then look how he says God's going to save him. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth, God's faithfulness is what it means. God's covenant promise shall be thy shield and buckler. As a harmless dove, Christ, he was hunted by the fowler. The devil came there into the wilderness and he's trying to tempt our Lord. But in perfect faith, Christ trusted the Father to cover him like a mother eagle protects her chicks under her wings. To cover him. He's a bird hunter, but he's describing here the Father as having feathers so impenetrable that he can't penetrate those feathers and get to his son. And when you think on God's faithfulness, and this was Christ's buckler, thinking on God's faithfulness, thinking on God's covenant promise, the truth of God, that's God's covenant promise to Christ. That's his faithfulness to our Redeemer. He thought on that, and that was his buckler. That was his shield. Christ is the truth. He said, I am the truth. And for you who believe him, thinking on what Christ has done, what Christ has accomplished, when you're hunted by the devil and temptation and wickedness in the world, this is where we ought to keep our heart, speaking to ourselves and remembering his promises. As for the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. I will trust in him. And remember here, yes, that fowler's chasing me. He's after me, but he shall deliver me from the fowler. He shall deliver me from the fowler. Did he deliver Peter? Yeah. He didn't let the fowler destroy Peter. He taught Peter through it, but he didn't let him destroy him. He'll deliver you from the fowler. And it's thinking on his faithfulness, thinking on his covenant promises, thinking on what he's accomplished for his people. Christ, in whom those promises are fulfilled, is the shield of our faith. When he says to you, take the shield of faith, it doesn't mean faith is your shield. It's who faith lays hold of. He told Abraham, I am thy shield. He's the shield. That's what he describes the Father as right here. I'm trusting you, Father. You're going to be a shield. Like a hen covering her chicks, you're going to be my shield. And Christ is that shield for his people. By his obedience. We were hunted by the fowler, but by his obedience, by his death on the cross, he has delivered us from the fowler. He delivered his people from the snare of the fowler by putting away our sin. Listen to Psalm 124:7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we're escaped. That's what Christ did on the cross. So he promises you and me, he's going to cover us in his wings. All these promises that Christ trusted the Father for, these are the covenant promises we have in Christ. It's already been fulfilled in Christ. We're with him, seated in his secret place in the holies of holies. This is why these promises are sure to us. He that abides in Christ in the secret place shall surely abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's going to deliver you, keep delivering you. He's our shield. He's the truth. And the promises of God in him are yes and amen. So continually, constantly, we come here, Paul's told Timothy, put them in remembrance. We come here to remember these things. What Christ has done, how we're safe in Christ, how he's our fortress, how he's our refuge. And he teaches us, commune with your own heart. Remember these things. Rehearse these things. This is the only strength we have, is Christ. The only strength we have against our flesh is when the Spirit of God sets your affection on Christ and he comes in his power and in spirit. You just bow to him and you believe him and you have the strength then to follow him and walk after him. And when our mind's not on him, when our minds are on other things and we're out in the world, how often does he turn your thoughts to him and immediately make you realize, I'm not trusting him. He turns you from whatever it is and makes you trust him, and then you walk after him. He's telling us here, this was Christ's perfect faithfulness. He communed with the Father continually. He trusted the Father. He looked to the Father. Now, this is how the fiery darts of the wicked shall not harm us, right here. It's by Christ our shield. Christ experienced it, and he stayed on God's sure promises. This is what he said to himself, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Christ says this to you, believer. Believing on Christ, trusting Christ, we have no reason to fear the devil's terror by night or by day. Trust in Christ, believe in Christ, safe in him. The pestilence, the plague of sin that destroys by night and by day, he says, you have no reason to fear. Trust him, believe him. And we see Christ take the shield of faith. That's what he's doing here. Christ is taking the shield of faith. That's what he's repeating throughout this psalm. He keeps repeating God's promises, what he's going to do. For our Lord, what our Father's going to do for his Son as he walked this earth and setting his heart on God's covenant promises to him. That's what we do. We take this Christ, our shield, and know all these promises are sure in him. He said in Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's the only way you ever get to thinking on everything in the world and your sin and all your weakness and all your money issues and all the different things in the world, and you just become so bombarded with it and you can't already look up. But when you behold Christ and you're looking to him and you know all these promises are sure in him, those things don't even affect you. You're not afraid of the terror at night. We shouldn't be afraid of the terror at night. Whatever it is that would make you afraid at night, God's people shouldn't be afraid. Our Lord sees in the darkness just like in the daytime, and he's protecting his people. He says here, the arrow that flieth by day, faith, taking the shield of faith, believe in Christ and look into Christ. That's how the fiery darts of the wicked are quenched. He said the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. How do we resist him? Steadfast in the faith. Looking to Christ. Believing on Christ. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Trust in him. And knowing he's working the same thing in our brethren. Look at this. How did he defeat the fowler? How did he tread him down? The devil. Now Christ is speaking to himself. Look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Reminding himself, because you've made the Lord your habitation, he's your refuge, even the Most High, because you made him your habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now, these are literal things. He's been talking about this terror and the arrows. These are literal things that convey spiritual meaning. You know, we've had the coronavirus. And we've had brethren that's died of that. So he doesn't mean that we're all going to die, and you're going to die of sin. And that's what's going to cause us to die. We're going to die. So he's not talking about that as the pestilence. The pestilence is sin. It is the curse. He's talking about here about not being able to be separated from Christ. He's talking about here about never coming under the curse and condemnation of the law. Because of what Christ has done, and the devil and sin never being able to separate us from Christ because of the finished work of redemption that he's accomplished. Now, it's interesting to me that the devil quoted this psalm when he's tempting our Redeemer and applied it to Christ. He tried to get him to throw himself off that temple, and he said, because it's written, verse 11, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. The devil knew that applied to Christ, and he said that. Christ is himself the stone. He's the rock. Against whom many dash their foot, many stumble and are snared and are taken. But the devil didn't quote verses 9 and 10. Why was this verse 11 and 12 true of our Redeemer? Why is that true? Why is that so of him? Because verses 9 and 10, because Christ made the Lord his refuge, even the Most High, his habitation, no evil could befall him, nor any plague come near his dwelling. No evil could befall him, and no plague come upon his dwelling. Now be sure to get this. Where is Christ dwelling? Christ dwelling is his Father and his people, his church. His Father and his people, his church. God came in human flesh, took flesh to declare God just and to justify his people. That's why he came here. And by his obedience unto the death of the cross, neither God, his Father, in whom he habitates, in whom he dwells, nor his people, his church, in whom he dwells, neither one shall ever be charged with anything but perfect righteousness because of what Christ accomplished. Both of them. If the evil of the curse and separation of sin comes on his people, it comes on Christ because they're his dwelling. That can't be. He said there, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And that's what he did. The angel announced our Lord's birth. He announced our Lord's birth when he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was so weak in his flesh. He was striving against sin. He trusted his Father. He was so weak in his flesh, the Father sent an angel to strengthen him. The angels came and rolled back the stone on the tomb. Angels announced, he's not here, he's risen. Angels were about him the whole time he walked this earth. just like they are any other believer that trusts God, because you trust him and he's yours, and he's going to keep you trusting him and keep you protected. Yes, that was so of our Redeemer. But God's covenant promise to our mediator was, if Christ trusted the Father perfectly, if he went and he bore the sin and the curse of his people and was cut off from God to the full satisfaction of God's justice, no evil, no plague of the curse whatsoever would ever again befall his people, nor come near his dwelling, his church. It wouldn't happen. He wouldn't let us be separated from God. He wouldn't let us be cut off. Christ bore that for us. And because he trusted the Father perfectly and went to the cross, God's going to let nothing happen to his people. He's not going to let anything separate us from our Lord. Christ won't let that happen. And the devil sure didn't quote verse 13 when he was trying to tempt. He was trying to tempt Christ not to believe the Father and to just throw away all those promises and all the promises that Christ has been rehearsing to himself right here for our benefit. He was trying to get him to throw all those away. And Christ wouldn't do it. Because he trusted the Father. He could not fail to trust the Father. He could not sin against the Father. He could not cast himself off of that temple and obey the devil. He couldn't do it. Because he's saving his people and declaring God just as he did it. And by going to that cross, here's what he accomplished. And the devil, isn't it interesting? The devil quoted this, trying to tempt Christ not to believe the Father. But he didn't quote the first part of it, which is why the Lord was protecting him, was because he trusted the Father perfectly. And he didn't quote this second part either. This is how Christ destroyed the devil. Verse 13, thou, speaking to Christ, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the serpent, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That's the devil. The devil's the lion, the serpent, the dragon. He bruised Christ's heel on the cross, but Christ, by taking away all the sin of his people, but satisfying divine justice for his people, our Lord Jesus Christ crushed the devil's head. He trampled him underfoot. That's what he came to do. And by that, he came to deliver his people from that bondage that the devil kept us in by keeping us fearing death due to our sin, constantly accusing us constantly of our sin. That's what Christ came to deliver us from, and that's what he did. Christ is a stone of stumbling. He said the angel is going to keep you from dashing your foot against a stone. There are many in this world for whom Christ is a stone of stumbling. He's that stone they dash their foot against and stumble and fall. But Christ sends his angels, his preachers, and gives his people faith. And by his Spirit, we'll never dash our foot against that stone. Not against Christ. Christ keeps us laying down on the rock. He keeps us planted on that one foundation, looking nowhere but to Christ, not trusting our works, not trusting in anything we've ever done, trusting Christ. He alone is going to save us through this whole walk that we're on, going to the end. And it's by his holy angels he protects us daily so that we never fall away. And when the devil charges his child, the shield is the truth of our Lord, Christ the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And the way the devil is going to, when he charges God's child, the Spirit guides us into the truth of Christ our shield. And here's what he says to us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. This is that pestilence. This is that plague that won't come near you. This is what he's talking about. He's saying there that there's nothing that's ever going to separate God's child from Christ. Nothing. Who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Paul said, I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now there, that first half, he that believes on the Lord, he's going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You see Christ's perfect faithfulness, continually thinking of those promises to him. And now I'm going to end with this. I'm just going to read these promises of God. They're saying he's going to keep you abiding. Next time, Lord willing, we'll look at these. Listen to these. I think there's six or seven promises here. Listen to these. Verse 14. This is, now it changes. Now the Father's speaking to Christ. And he says, because he has set his love upon me. This promise is not for everybody. It's just for those whose love is set on Christ. Those who have received the love of the truth. Don't want to hear anybody but him exalted. Want him to get all the glory who received the love of the truth. And that was Christ's perfect love to the Father. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, God said. That's his promise. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. That's God the Father's promise to Christ and to all his people who he brought to trust Christ. And listen, with long life, oh, he's going to give me 70 or 80 or 90 years. If he does, that's a vapor. That ain't long life. No, he's talking about eternal life. I will give him with long life, eternal life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Remember what he said? He said, we're risen with Christ, that in the ages to come, in that long life of eternity, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace to us and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So when you come into any kind of trouble, do what our Savior did right here. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He'll deliver thee. Speak that to your own heart. He'll deliver thee. He'll cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. It's going to come near you. There's going to be many that's going to fall away in apostasy, and fall away in rebellion, and fall away going after their own works. But it's not coming near you. Those that he's given faith, they're going to be kept under his shadow. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, the Most High, thy habitation. Say that within your own heart. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Christ is saying that to his people. He's telling you and me that. He'll give the angels charge over thee. He'll keep thee in all that way. He'll bear thee up. They'll bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And one day, real soon, you're going to tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon, under your feet. He told Christ, sit here till I make your enemies your footstool. And he said in Romans, he said, the God, our God, our God of all grace, he's going to trample Satan under your feet shortly. And that's what our God's going to do. He's already overcome him. And he's going to keep his people trusting him and deliver us to the end. And he'll get all the glory, and we want him to have it. We want him to have it. Amen.